I thought I'd do a short podcast on some of the issues of leaders dealing with personal adversity in their own leadership role. One of the things that you can clearly be certain of along the road of leadership will be the confrontation of adversity and challenge. And it's important as a leader to recognize that how you deal with it and the role that you play in it is vital to the success of leadership and to your own long-term success in the role of leader. Remember, you're going to be representing to a lot of people exactly what the experience of leadership is by virtue of your own adaptation to your life processes, including the challenges that are associated with that, that indicate your ability to adapt and to adjust to those challenges in your own life. It's very hard to help others adapt to the challenges of their own life journey if one of the problems that you have is your own ability to adapt to the challenges evident in your journey. Remember, as a leader, people are continually watching you. They're watching how you live, how you express, how you relate, how you unfold the role of leader, and how you live your own life. So it's not far from the conception of your own reality as a leader to recognize that they're also watching how you adapt to the fundamental characteristics of the challenges and impact of those challenges in your own life. So it's very important to be able to give that some form and to give that some thought in the expression of your own leadership role. So I thought we'd take just a little bit of time here talking about dealing with that kind of adversity, regardless of what it might be and what level of intensity. How you deal with it, not the adversity itself, will be what people remember and the challenges that they will be accepting in terms of your own leadership as they confront their challenges and look to you to guide them in that journey. Glenn Mangurian, himself challenged by an event that paralyzed him, has characterized perhaps some of the more salient elements in an article he wrote for the Harvard Business Review in March 2007 regarding how leaders develop resilience and adapt wisdom with regard to their adversity. And it's the wisdom that he kind of configures and condenses that really probably forms the cornerstone of a leader's adaptability to challenge and limitation. Certainly most often a traumatic event in a leader's life forces the leader to rethink all of the aspects of one's values and beliefs, indeed of life itself. When this traumatic event or dramatic impact occurs across the board, certain themes have emerged throughout the experience that have been frequently written about and have frequently been identified as critical to the ability of the individual, in this case the leader, to adapt and to move on with life. As you face serious challenge, these key characteristics in response to that challenge probably repeatedly have more to do with the ability of the individual, in this case the leader, to re-engage life and to begin to thrive in fundamentally new ways and to create a model and mentorship to others of how the challenges of life can be confronted and met with dignity, with meaning, and with value. First, most people who have experienced and thrived after trauma suggest that it's better not to know what happens tomorrow. It's really wise and certainly built into the universal condition of life that we don't know what's going to happen, and that ultimately it's better not to know. That way you engage each moment in life, each day in life, with as much meaning and value as you can, trying to know as much about your future and to be able to predict and to own that future probably is more of a waste of time than ever can be imagined. if we knew all of the good and the bad and the challenging things that were going to be in store with us, we'd probably be overwhelmed and end up focusing on the negative in such a way that it would challenge our ability to adapt and to cope and overwhelm the coping and adjustment processes that are so much a part of life when one confronts it as it is, where it is, at the place it is, without attempting to predict it. It's more important for us to be able to focus on our current conditions and circumstances, draw on the energy and strength that we have to be able to address those circumstances, and then to build whatever response it is that we need to make under the circumstances in a way that provides specific and valuable meaning and contribution. Second, you can't control what happens. You can just control how you respond. You know, one of the things that's characteristic about successful people is that they don't blame external circumstances for their own conditions and for their own quality of life. Something happens to everybody. Negative things happen, positive things happen. Everybody is impacted by what happens. Since there's an equal dose of both, then the issue isn't so much what happened, the issue is, what do you do with what happens? How did you respond? How did you act? What choices did you make? In all the events of life, the most important issue related to it is the response to those events, the choices that were made. Everything in life is a set of choices, so it's really clear that choice is critical to the viability of one's life, to the direction of that life, and to the meaning and value that one brings to the experience of that life. Successful people are accustomed to being in control. What happens in a traumatic event is that control is challenged. But adversity and challenge always comes unannounced, outside of the range of control, and demonstrates to each of us just precisely how much control we actually have. The desire to control things and to fully manage all the circumstances and events of life is clearly out of touch with reality. Life continually presents us with reality by placing things in front of us over which we've had no control, could not anticipate, and simply cannot manage through the control mechanism. The only way to influence outcomes is by focusing on the things that you have the power to control, to influence, and to direct. Here again, the choices that you make to respond to the events of life and to be able to place on your plate the kinds of activities and responses and choices that you will make that give some idea of the direction of life as you move from the point of impact of trauma or events forward. Third, adversity distorts reality, but it also crystallizes the truth. Adversity reinforces your fears, but it also puts an emphasis on what matters to you right now. Adversity, because of its intensity and its challenge, can create a perceptual and conceptual framework for a particular point in your experience that may be overwhelming and may be challenging in a way that distorts your sense of it, your consciousness, your perception of it, and furthermore, raises issues with regard to your ability to understand and to cope and respond. Since, for the most part, adversity isn't a constant condition of life for all of us. It's not something that is permanently real or in any way reflects actual conditions and circumstances for all of the events of one's life. Unless one is permanently challenged by social, political, economic considerations beyond their control, adversity is generally an event-based process that represents certain kinds of things that occur within the context of particular events. Therefore, it is important to kind of re-engage one's perspective, to put the adversity in the perspective of the longer journey and the longer experiences, and be able to give it form and purpose and direction so that it can find its place in the broader landscape of one's life experience, so that one does not perceive or pursue life within the perspective frame of the adversity, but instead places the adversity inside the perspective of the longer lived experience, so that appropriate choices and actions can be undertaken that reflect the greater and longer and broader direction of life and the choices necessary to advance it. If one stays simply within the adversity and limited only by the perspective the adversity is providing, it limits the perspective frame and the broad range of options and insights that can be obtained when one puts the adversity in the broader life context and helps facilitate the greater number of choices that can be made there. Now, in reality, it must be remembered that these kinds of choices certainly are a product of timing. At the initial stages of the adversity, the adjustment to its impact and conditions on one's lived, real and contemporary experience is going to overwhelm any perspective that one has. So those who are experiencing adversity, first of all, have to be able to cope with, deal with, be able to handle and adjust to the adversity, and to be able to get a sense of the reality of that adversity in one's own life. Once that has served its time and has done its work, it is now time to put that adversity inside of the broader context of the life experience and begin to raise questions about adaptation and choices that will necessarily take the person from the adversity event back into the life experience, placing that adversity in the longer and broader perspective and making choices that can advance the quality and interests of one's life over the long term. Next, loss amplifies the value of what remains in life. What loss does is push the individual and even forces the individual to take stock of who you are, what you have, what values and substance and meaning you have in your life, and then allows you to liberate yourself from petty or irrelevant matters and to celebrate your assets. Mangurian reflects on this as a critical element of the journey to the wisdom of acceptance and of re-engagement of life. One of the things that it's important to recognize is that loss is inherent in the adversity. It's important for the individuals to give loss a language, to give it a feeling, to give it a sense, to name it, to spend time in it, to allow that loss to have its impact and to do its valuable work of helping you deal with, identify, and cope with the impact of the adversity in one's life at any given moment. So loss brings value to the experience. It's very difficult to move on without being able to name the loss, spend time with it, give it form and substance, and be able to place it in one's life in a meaningful way so that one can see it as a point of demarcation, a point from which you're going to be leaving, but recognize its value and its importance, give it language and meaning, and be able to spend time with it in clear and articulate ways so that one can move on from it and use it as a demarcation in the further trajectory of one's life's choices. Loss helps amplify values and get you back into those values so that you can identify your life experience from the perspective of those values, and once having lived the loss, identify its impact, have a point at which you can move on and regain ownership of your life and of your life's journey. Next, it's easier to create new dreams than to cling on to broken ones. One of the things that is really critical, Mangurian suggests, is that adversity alters the relationships and can even ruin them. Adversity destroys some dreams and renders others that you once valued and found important as perhaps unlikely, unachievable. Certain things, he suggests, are irrevocably lost by the trauma of adversity. Pretending that they're not lost and trying to idealize them and hold on to them and regain them may be foolish and inappropriate. But again, adversity also provides an opportunity, a kind of birth, if you will, to clean out what is no longer relevant and viable and valuable and meaningful, to house clean, so to speak, to pack up the old dreams that no longer are reflected in the reality that is now a part of your life, and to begin to start forming new values and new directions and new choices, new opportunities for you to dream and move in directions that reflect your emerging reality. Now again, one has to be balanced and realistic about these choices. It doesn't necessarily mean that the trauma of adversity destroys or undermines every dream that one has. It may even further challenge you to refine the dreams, to raise the specter of those dreams and their applications, and to begin to build that process up in a way that represents real value, real meaning, and real significance. But it also challenges you to make choices with regard to whether that can be done, whether your limitations or the challenge or the adversity that you've experienced now changes the trajectory of your life and calls for an accommodation or an adjustment or even a shift in what your dreams and your goals are. Being clear about those, an objective process that you undertake with regard to discerning those, and entering into the relationship with significant others, with mentors and other people you value to help sort through those processes and to get an objective frame for your considerations, all helps with some of the formation of the next steps in the direction that you have in your life and the choices that you're making in that life, and begins to help you grapple with those choices so that you can begin to start reformatting, reformulating, and reconfiguring your dreams in a more meaningful way to reflect the characteristics of your life from this point forward. Packing up old dreams does not mean ending them. It simply means realistically orienting yourself to your current conditions and choices, making new choices, establishing new dreams that reflect the reality of your life, and engaging your skills, your energy, your talent, and your values in a way that can help move you towards the accomplishment of these dreams with regard to the future trajectory of your life's choices. Finally, your happiness is more important than righting the injustices of your life. Life is not fair. It's true. The challenges of life recognize that, as Mangurian suggests, anger is a normal response to the challenges that you confront and to the traumatic events. But anger can be limiting if it guides and directs the remainder of your life. Attempting to assign and seek blame or to seek justice in the unfairness of life is draining of your energy, draining of your commitment to your dreams, and keeps you from undertaking the work that's necessary to getting on with the next phase and next stages of your life. Mourning the loss is important, but staying in it is draining and debilitating. Beginning to find balance again, getting out of the anger, acknowledging the anger, expressing the anger, naming it, dealing with it, is critical to dealing and accommodating with the adversity and the trauma associated with it. But once you do that, you must extinguish the pain and the challenge of that anger as a fundamental part of your life's choices. Place that anger where it belongs in terms of the life event. Get the energy from that anger that's necessary to deal with it and to begin to start challenging it and to raise issues with regard to where it will take you. But do not live in the anger. Do not allow the anger to cripple you further and to diminish your accessibility to the choices and to the variables that lie ahead. It is more fruitful to release the anger, to deal with it, to express it, to name it, and then to let it go. and to move forward with your life so that your life now reflects the reconfiguration of your choices, the re-engagement of your energy, and accepting the challenges and the values that are so important in living that life as you get past the adversity and the trauma of the events that it creates. This brief podcast is really an opportunity to kind of alert you to the potential for the trauma and adversity that invariably will affect your life as a leader. Some of you will experience high-level intensity of adversity and trauma, but most of us will experience the various adversities and traumas that unfold as a normal part of a leadership experience. How we handle those, how we deal with them and express that in our role and our relationships, how we give visual representation to our ability to manage adversity and trauma will be the best delineator, the best witness to the quality and depth of our leadership capacity, and will play the strongest role in mentoring that capacity to those that we lead and to others whose leadership we are influencing and forming. These are going to be critical and vital moments in our life. They will not go away. They will be a part of our life experience. Dealing with them, engaging them, meeting them, and moving through them will be critical to effective, life-based leadership expression. I think Mangurian says it best when he says that rather than feel sorry for myself, I've chosen to use what I have accomplished in my previous life as the foundation for building a second life full of purpose and possibilities, some of which only became visible thanks to my major trauma in my life. He suggests that one's new life's work in progress continues to grow and to challenge him every day, that in it, the individual has to recreate parts of the self every single day as they build the future of their lives. A post-adversity or traumatic life is full of new yet different adventures. Even if we don't know what all of them are yet, they lead us in a new trajectory. They don't close doors, they simply open alternative doors. Being willing to engage them and to express them as a part of our role is the best possible exemplar of true leadership.